Proceed, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to speak directly to the protesters who were here yesterday. I talked to my spouse overnight and kind of expressed to her how I was feeling about that, and she urged me to stand up today and say a few words about that. What I got from it yesterday was that there are a lot of people who feel oppressed, and I get that message. And I want to tell those people that I believe that every senator in the chamber wants to help them. We don't want people to feel oppressed, but I came away from there not knowing exactly what they want. Last year, when we had the Medicaid protesters, I knew what they wanted. They wanted us to expand Medicaid, and we weren't doing that. And they had asked us to do that, and they were expressing frustration that we weren't giving them what they wanted. But yesterday, we had protesters, and I don't honestly know what they want. What public policy thing do they want us to do for them? They haven't come to us and asked us to do anything, so they came and they expressed their frustration, but I don't know what it's about. And so I want them to know that several of the senators in the room here have introduced measures already to help them. And I would ask them to please come to us and tell us what you want. Do you want us to pass a bill that makes life better in some way? If so, come to my office and tell me what it is. But some of the members of our body expressed to me that they were feeling some anger over that. And so I want them to know that if you will come to us and tell us what you want, then we will consider it. Now, we may not do exactly what you want, but at least you will not be eliciting anger from us, which doesn't help the situation. It doesn't further your cause. So my request would be that before you come and disrupt our proceedings again, please come and participate in the process. Tell us what you want, and let us have an opportunity to consider it. And then, if we fail to make any meaningful change that helps your lives, then come and protest, and we'll feel better about it. And that's really all I had to say. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. The Senator from the 14th is on her feet.
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
Does the Senator yield?
Yes.
If you yield, you may inquire.
Senator, I would like to first thank you for articulating the feelings that you had yesterday. It is a very important question. From day one, August 9th, I knew that the way that our young people were responding was indicative of the level of education they had been receiving. Last year, we tried to deal with that. There was a lot of anger, there was a lot of hurt, there is a lot of anger, there is a lot of hurt going on right now. And the injury has occurred again and again, especially with our governor and the way he's responded to these people who have felt oppressed, who have been attacked, who have been targeted. I wouldn't even say that because this group of people for the most part live in poverty. Poverty is not the reason why Michael Brown was killed. It's not the reason. Not the reason. We have a systematic problem that exists in multiple institutions, including the one in which we serve. But the lack of education is the foundation of everything on all sides. Ensuring that our police officers know what the Constitution means and how it protects everyone. The education of young people in an area that has been deprived, them not knowing what their constitutional rights are. them not having the ability to articulate the feelings that they have and try to figure out the pathways in which to get the outcome that they want and deserve. So at the very beginning, I was part of, you know, my constituents. I felt as though you have to do what Jesus would do, be among the people. And I said that during veto session. I say that now. And then my mom, you know, put me to the side and she said, and I'll tell you what she said, you guys are going to appreciate that. She even gave me a book. And she said, you cannot be an activist and go back into that chamber. You have to be a senator. Because if you take that anger that you have while you've been on those streets and you bring it into this chamber, then your colleagues will not have any respect for that anger that you share. So I had to separate myself. And what I chose to do is teach. I started teaching my constituents about what civic engagement is all about. Many of my constituents didn't know who their council members are. They didn't know who their mayors were. But it's indicative of the education that they're getting. Indicative of the education. And that's why I have actually evolved on how I feel about education and making sure we provide access to every child, regardless of where they live. And for those people who want to keep the status quo, those are the people who want to manipulate the system so that they can operate as everything is normal, status quo. Those are the status quo people. The status quo has failed our society. The status quo is not creating the best and the brightest for this state. I had a long conversation with my constituents and whoever's on my personal Facebook, you can go and watch. I asked, for minorities, professional people, why are you still here? And there were people who don't usually respond on my Facebook who chose to start responding, who said, I'd rather leave because there isn't opportunity. One of the reasons why we don't have a lot of opportunity for communities that look like mine, again, is because of the lack of education and the people who want to maintain the status quo. And so a lot of our leaders, and I don't always want to speak on behalf of protesters, but as I try to understand where they're coming from, they don't want a leader. Everyone's a leader. You know, in politics, it's very easy to figure out who the leader is, chop off their head, and then everything is just swept under the rug. There are a lot of people in St. Louis, there are some people in rank and file in St. Louis who want to sweep the issue under the rug. This is the greatest opportunity for the state of Missouri to come together, all of us. Whether you're from rural Missouri, or if you're from urban Kansas City, or if you're from Independence, I think this is the opportunity where we can rise above our political aspirations or our philosophies that we have and become a better state. Because if one part of this state is injured, then that means another part of the state is going to be injured. And as our protesters are trying to figure out what's going on, and when I say our protesters, I'm not talking about the agitators who have created chaos, who have looted, because I do not support those people. I think they all should go to jail. The people who burned the building where I teach civic engagement, they need to go to jail. The people who have looted, they need to go to jail, and justice needs to serve them like justice serves everyone else. But for those peaceful protesters, which are the majority of people, because they don't know the law, their thinking is, okay, we just want to be treated right. Well, what does that mean? So I think as I've been going through this, defining better what deadly force is, and I know that there are a lot of different opinions about deadly force. And I don't want to do an overhaul. I'm not trying to be like some liberals are and just demand 100% change. And I know that we can't do that in this body. But I believe in the state of Missouri, we always seek balance. And I think we can, in this body, create a balance where everyone is given an opportunity to still go through the legal process. And that's one issue. I believe that we do need to deal with grand juries.
Well, Senator, I thank you for your thoughtful words, and I hope that you received what I said as an invitation to them, expression of anger. I would like us to invite them to come to us and help us to make their lives better.
Well, I'm very grateful for your sensitivity, and the one thing I would urge is let's not respond like the governor did. Let's not respond like he did. These are human beings, and this could be your grandchild, this could be your son. What happened in Ferguson can also happen in rural Missouri. You don't have to be black for this to happen to you. It can happen anywhere. But I think that the temperament for the majority of people in this body understand the sensitivity and approach that we need to go forward to produce some change. And I will tell you, there have been several people. The senator from Green came to the district, spent a couple of days talking to my constituents this summer. The senator from the 15th spent several days in my district talking to my constituents. The senator from the 8th came to my district, spoke to my constituents. I've had a lot of senators in here come and talk to feel how others are feeling. And so that's why I think engagement is very important, but also understand that this is a different culture of people. Just like they didn't understand the culture of this body, of this chamber, a lot of people here don't understand their culture. And it's the connectivity is my responsibility. I have to make sure they know what is the culture, what are the rules of this chamber, this beautiful chamber, that makes us equal. We are all equal regardless of if you had to run and raise $1 million to win the seat that you're sitting in right now, or $38,000. We are equal in this chamber. It doesn't matter where we come from, we are all equal in this chamber, but we have rules. And our rules guide how we do things here. They don't know that. They don't know their constitutional rights. They don't know what we know. But I also want to encourage you, like other senators in this body have, please try to understand their culture and their sensitivity. I never thought, ever, that I would be in a room with people who have been felons, who want change. I've had gang members who literally said, I'm tired of being in the game. I'm tired of being a gang member, and I want a change. I want to make my community better. There are people who say, I didn't know that there would be an opportunity for me because I thought I was going to die at 21 years old. And they're saying now, I want to live. I want my son to live. I want my son to have an opportunity that I didn't have. There are people who have literally changed their lives because of what happened on August 9th. This is what we ask for. We ask for some kind of message from God for that, so that we can become better people. And what happened is the gift from Michael Brown to make us all aware of our roles and responsibilities in society. And yet there's a disconnect, but there doesn't have to be a disconnect whatsoever, because I know there's compassion in every senator's heart. Every senator in this room has compassion, every one of us. And there are some issues where we will not agree, and we will respectfully disagree. We will get heated at times on certain issues that we believe in. And it's okay, because that is part of the democratic process. But what we are talking about today is the welfare of our state. It's the welfare where every man, every woman has a chance to succeed. and to have the sea change of opinion, to have young people say, I don't want to die. I don't want to commit crime anymore. I want to get an education. Mean something. They're, now, the people who are acting crazy, you know, justice needs to be served. But for those who are just hanging by a thread of hope, who want to make a change so that we can have a strong Missouri, we've got to do our best to understand them. And I will tell you, there are people, again, elected who want to maintain the status quo. And for those people who want to maintain the status quo, it will be the detriment to our state. It will be the detriment to our state. You know, one thing that I found out, I want everyone to hear very closely, the enrollment of international students at Washington University and UM St. Louis has declined dramatically, digit percentages. Also, our revenue in the state, because of Ferguson, has declined. If that is happening for the entire state, that means that we must do something and we must act, because we have to have a thriving economy in this state. And if we're spending $12 million for security, we all know that our governor failed. We all know that he never had a strategy. But let's not be Governor Nixon, who is ignorant to the concerns of people who have been oppressed for generations. Let's show that we have kinder, gentler hearts, and we have compassion where he does not have compassion. This is one of those sermons when we go to church on Sunday and our, you know, pastor or whoever tells us, listen, have compassion for the poor. Have compassion for the people who don't have the same experiences as we do, because they don't. And I know in your districts, each of you, there are people who have much less than what you have. And I never thought that we would be in a place, I never thought that I would be in a place where I'd have to say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Jesus would go to those who are the most diseased, the ones who are experiencing trials and tribulations, people who we don't identify with necessarily, but he went to those people anyway, and he held them. You know, I told you I have held grown men crying. I've held back young children who wanted to attack police officers, and I took them back. You know, there's something that came up, it's amazing. I ended up having, some people know that I curse like a sailor, but I ended up being surrounded by pastors. It was the greatest gift. And they just said, she just has this mouth on her. But they guided me, and there's a lesson that I learned, standing in the gap, a very important principle. Standing in the gap of those who have nothing versus those who have everything, standing in the gap of those who have no access and those who have access, standing in the gap to ensure that people have every single tool and resource so that they can succeed and be the best that they can be. As a body, must stand in the gap and ensure that we have a better society. If we have a better society, a better St. Louis, we have a better Missouri. And this is the opportunity where all of us can come together with our multiple differences and opinion and say, we have to do what's right for the state. And yes, we may not understand these gang members and these felons and all these others, but they want to make a change. And if they want to make a change, let us give them a pathway. And let's not be inauthentic like our governor. He's completely inauthentic. Completely. Let's show that we have compassion. And that's why I urge all of you, Republican, Democrat, let's show that we are better than our governor. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.